The one we finished, I think, did yesterday we finish the plague of boils in the iron furnace?
Say some more about that.
Huh?
I think you're going to say some more about it.
There you go.
Did I talk about why the fifth plague, the murrain, why it hit the cattle? Did I talk about that?
Yes.
I did?
Yeah. Is there a source of economic?
No, it was each one of them was represented, each animal represented one of the gods.
Oh, I wasn't here with you.
I don't think I talked about it. I'm going to assume I did. If anybody wants to know about it, talk to me later. Exodus 9, I think.
Which plague is the boils?
Pardon?
What plague is the boils?
The sixth.
I think I put seven.
Exodus 9.
Just remember that. Learn that song of John's, and then you can remember it. All right, the next plague, chapter 9, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And as yet exaltest thou self against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Now, one of the most important concepts, and that people here over the years have had the singular most trouble with, is that how can this God of love cause hurt? How can this God of love cause things that I think are evil? Now, you gotta get your arms around this one or you'll never understand. So let's go to Proverbs 16, I think. Let's start there. Isn't it automatic that if something bad doesn't happens to you, that you think God must not be in it? Huh? 16.
Yeah.
So therefore, something is wrong. You remember all that we've talked about your worship in the high places and what true faith is. Is that you're not swift to move away from His presence. Every time something happens that you don't like, or that scares you, or something, then you lean on your own arm of understanding. And the Bible calls that fainting. And so you could take it all the way to the end. I mean, whatever it is, if it's just a little irritant, or if it's a big baddie. If the little irritant, if somebody irritates you, or somebody bothers you, or the standard one, if a car pulls out in front of you, your instant thing is to go either to anger or to something other than peace. Well, what happens when it goes all the way to death? The death of a loved one, the death of, it has to be seen as the same. Nothing can allow you to leave that place of peace. And the plagues have come so that all of these other solutions and all of the other things that you've gone to automatically all your life over the years are slowly but surely destroyed before your eyes. So the only thing that's left for you to do is to stay in 100% dependence on God, even in the midst of all the troubles. That's the reason for the plagues. So in Proverbs 16, it says something interesting. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of, or the wicked one for the day of evil. Let's go to Romans 9, I think.
This, the day of evil.
It's the day.
Well,
any day, any time. It's the day of your walk in the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't want anything to be different. I don't want any more than I have. I don't want anything to change. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And when I screw up, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I promise you, his rod and his staff you will always think of as evil. My rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do they? Is something you think of as evil comfort you? Can you repent of that?
Just like that.
Thou preparest, and again, it's interesting, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So somehow the enemies have something to do with his rod and your rod and your staff. His rod and his staff. You see? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, while the rod and the staff is comforting me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I don't keep making my cup bigger. Everything you need to know about God is in the 23rd Psalm. Goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever has to start right now, so you can't be any other place. This has to become you rather than just thinking about it or knowing it. All right? Romans, did I say that? Did I say go to Romans?
Nine.
Okay, he had twins. Again, twins are all throughout the scriptures. And the twins were Jacob and Esau. And then verse 13 it says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Even while they were in the womb, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Gary have I hated, and Christ in Gary have I loved. Michael have I hated, and Christ in you have I loved. You got it? The love of God is seated in a person, in Christ. It has nothing to do with you until your identity is the same. All right. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. There's nothing you can do right. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, and this is what we just read, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory? So, and this is where the real fear of God comes in. Are you a vessel of wrath, or are you a vessel of mercy? And I promise you, if you continue on leaning on your own armor of understanding, if you continue on coming to solutions by your own ideas or past modes of behavior, the odds become against you that you're a vessel of mercy. Because you're operating under the influence of the whore that's sitting on the seven mountains of your mind. Is this clear to everybody? This is why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The predicate of wisdom is those things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God. And that if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
We don't have a choice here now, do we? It sounds like...
Of course you don't have a choice.
Because whom he will, he hardeneth. Just the way you say it there, it's as if we can affect the outcome.
You can by repentance. You can't. You can't choose your behavior, but you can repent. That's why this issue of people running around saying, I'm dealing with it every day by these blithering idiots. Are you dealing with people that are redeemed? Oh, and this whole thing with all of our little counselors that call me and make sure that the people that I'm dealing with on the through the agent are redeemed. What the hell does that mean? It's none of your business.
I'll be the judge of that.
No, God will.
I've always been upset because it's still in verse 19, why does he find fault and who can resist his will? It seems to me like he never really answers.
No one can resist his will. That's why you accept your death.
But I guess
as long as you still think you have a will to do things, then you're not dead. You haven't been baptized. You haven't seen the cross. And so his long suffering, we account as salvation, praying that there will be enough time remaining so you can come to your senses and see the idiocy of your activities. I wasn't just talking to you, but since you brought up the point. If the foo... No, never mind.
I can't help but think that God is like picking on Esau, and on Pharaoh. Using them as instruments of his wrath. I'm like the instruments of his revelation.
But he's also using you as an instrument of his wrath.
Yeah, he did too.
If you don't understand that you're the Pharaoh, then you will still think, oh, he wasn't fair to Pharaoh. When it finally groks that you are the Pharaoh, you are the Antichrist, you are the one against whom all evil is the source, then you will understand mercy. But you can't understand mercy until you understand wrath.
Find yourself outside.
You get it? Good.
I was thinking a minute ago about Esau and Jacob and me as Esau. I do whatever I can to appear like Christ. I'm the Antichrist. I will
masquerade.
I will remake my behavior to fool anybody I can, including God, so that I will be the chosen one. That's what my flesh does. But it doesn't do me any good unless I see that. If I don't see it, I just keep doing it.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't.
That, to me, is where repentance comes in.
Right. Repentance has to see. There can't be repentance unless you see your death. Otherwise, repentance is improvement. And you're hardwired to try to do it better. So as long as you still give yourself any breath, any importance, as long as I can hurt your feelings.
Right, otherwise Pharaoh would have repented at the first plague.
Or the second.
Second, third, fourth, I mean the dummy. You know, it goes all the way until finally he has to be killed.
And that's why you have to see that you are the Pharaoh. You are the one that's been keeping Christ in bondage.
When you started reading this morning about Moses, God said to Moses, go and say unto Pharaoh, I was thinking of Moses looking in a mirror. And there's an image of Pharaoh in the mirror, which is what I see.
Same thing. It's like, you want to find the Antichrist? Go look in a mirror. How far is your sin forgiven? As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Depending on which way you're turning. So if you're still looking at you and seeing you in life, you're helpless. You're hopeless. You're still trying to get it right. If you turn, leave yourself behind, and then you have somebody like me comes along. And not only is it turning, it has to be internal. It has to go to the deepest part of your being.
See, the Antichrist will turn, you know, because that's what he's supposed to do. And then you come along and say something and find out maybe he's not dead yet.
Right. You still operate on the basis of your own redemption. Peace.
When Moses saw his army, he stood there and saw his army drowned in the Red Sea, I hope he finally repented.
Moses didn't make it to the promised land.
Pharaoh.
No, Pharaoh died.
He was drowned too. Not the movie. He stood up there and watched when he had it all with them.
That was on the movie.
All right.
He went back and his wife said, you're a total
loser. Maybe you're a total loser.
I love you guys. You get your theology from songs or movies. Harry especially. Since Harry's not here, if there's one person moon-faced, it's other than Gary, it's Harry. And the little theologies from love songs.
Yeah, he can.
I shouldn't talk about him like that when he's not here.
He's here. He's gonna listen to this, I bet you.
That's here.
Especially after you tell him to.
Oh, he was really talking about you this morning.
His headphones were burning.
Why?
His headphones are burning.
His headphones are burning. Oh, yeah, that's good. I don't feel like talking anymore. We'll get to hail tomorrow. Anybody have any other response? I got some rollover minutes we can save.
So what did you say this morning?
I said the Pharaoh who died looked a lot like Gary. He looked exactly like Michael.
Bald head Pharaoh?
It's because he had a bald head.
It's like Bill Burton.
Except he wore a little thingy on it. He wore a little dress, too. He probably would go well with those lycra pants that he wears. A little.
No, I think I'm gonna leave now.
Take it, big guy.
It's integrated.